Our gospel lesson this morning is from the Gospel of John, the first chapter, beginning at verse 29. This is page 862 in your Bibles, if you want to follow along. This is the very beginning of Jesus' public life, as told by John. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is translated teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. When we read the Bible and hear easy-to-understand stories like this one from John, sometimes it's fun to consider not just what is being said, but the way in which it's being said. There's a lot happening in this short passage from the Gospel of John. And if I were to give it a one-sentence summary, I might say, Jesus identified by John as the Lamb of God. Or I might say, the disciples discover who Jesus is and they follow him. Or I might say, Jesus invites the disciples to follow him and renames Simon to Peter. What's interesting to me this week and this year is how this passage sounds compared with next week's gospel reading, which will be from Matthew, and which is also about Jesus calling the disciples to follow him, and which is almost the opposite of how it goes here in John. You see, when I imagine the way that Jesus called the disciples to follow him, I have this picture of Jesus in the village, or Jesus in the countryside, or Jesus by the lake, and people are with him and are curious, and then at some point in the conversation, Jesus says, "Hey, come with me. Follow me." And they do, which is almost the way it happens next week, because what I imagine is not necessarily what the Bible says. It's important to remember that what we think may not be what it says. And what I imagine is not at all the way it happens today. I love that we get different versions of how the disciples came to hang out with Jesus, because that's how it still is for us. We come to follow Jesus in different ways. And so this week and next week, we will look at two of the many ways that our journeys with Christ might begin. And if you are on the path of Jesus already, these are ways that we can see him and be encouraged in our own following of Jesus. Remember, we are in the season of Epiphany. Epiphany, remember, means manifestation, which means the ways that God makes Jesus known to us. Not just the way that God made Jesus known back then, but the way we discover and know Jesus today. So, our reading for today from the Gospel of John, listen to it again. This is a different translation. It's called the Living Bible. And see if you can pick out how the whole startup for the disciples is different from how I imagine it. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, there's the Lamb of God who takes away the world's sins. He is the one I was talking about when I said, 'Soon a man far greater than I is coming, who existed long before me.' I didn't know he was the one, but I'm here baptizing with water in order to point out that he is the one the nation of Israel will follow." Then Jesus told about seeing the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove descending from heaven and resting on Jesus. "I didn't know he was the one," John said again, "but at the time God sent me to baptize, he told me, 'When you see the Holy Spirit descending and resting on someone, he's the one you're looking for. He's the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' I saw it happen to this man, and therefore I testify that he is the Son of God." The following day, as John was standing with two of his disciples, Jesus walked by. John looked at him intently and then declared, "See, there's the Lamb of God." Then John's two disciples turned and followed Jesus. Jesus looked around and saw them following. "What do you want?" he asked them. "Sir," they replied, "where do you live?" "Come and see," he said. So they went with him to the place where he was staying and were with him from about 4 o'clock that afternoon until the evening. One of these men was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Andrew then went to find his brother Peter and told him, "We have found the Messiah." And he brought Peter to the house. Jesus looked intently at Peter for a moment and then said, "You are Simon, John's son, but now you shall be called Peter, the Rock." Did you hear it? The disciples begin to follow Jesus before Jesus ever speaks to him. What's with that? What prompts, motivates, and inspires these two, Andrew and his friend, to follow Jesus when they haven't even met him yet? I love the answer to this question. It's the testimony of someone else. John the Baptist, who is not the same John as the one that wrote in the Bible. Now, John the Baptist and Jesus are cousins. So when he says, "I don't know him," he doesn't mean he doesn't know him. Of course he knows him. They're cousins. What he means is that he doesn't know him to be revealed as the Son of God, the Anointed One, the Lamb of God, until now. And John discovered this about Jesus, or Jesus was made manifest to him as the Son of God, the Anointed One, the Lamb of God, at Jesus' baptism. The Holy Spirit had something to do with this discovery, which sounds familiar, doesn't it? The Holy Spirit arriving and making a revelation to a mere mortal about God coming in human form. We've heard that recently. And John can't help but spread the word. He is babbling all over the place about Jesus. In fact, it will contribute to his getting killed just a few short months from when this happened. "I have seen and testify." That's it. "I have seen and I testify." And what he is testifying or sharing, testifying means to tell the story of, to share, is important. This one, Jesus, is the Lamb of God. Lamb of God. Well, it helps us to know what he meant by this, and it might explain why Andrew and friend would go after him. Lambs were sacrificed to God and were, and still are, the centerpiece of the Passover meal. This tradition comes from the story of Exodus in the Bible. God helped the children of Israel escape slavery in Egypt by inflicting 10 plagues upon Egyptians before the Pharaoh would release the Israelite slaves. The 10th and the worst of these plagues was death of the Egyptian firstborn child in the house. So the Israelites were instructed to mark the doorposts of their homes with the blood of a slaughtered spring lamb. And then the Spirit of the Lord, when coming through, would know to pass over that house and those children would be saved. The blood of the lamb saved them and led to their release from slavery. The Israelites would also sacrifice animals to stay in a good relationship with God because they believed that when they had sinned or offended God, that by sacrificing animals and giving them back to God, God would forgive their sins. Lambs had everything to do with having a good relationship with God. God does his part, saves and forgives. Humans do their part, sacrifice the lambs. And then along comes Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So when John points to Jesus and tells what he saw and heard and experienced and calls him the Lamb of God, that's enough. John shared Christ and lives were changed. And that's how it goes sometimes. And for me, this is really good news because I have not had a big conversion moment experience of Jesus. I don't always hear Jesus calling me to follow him. My faith relies on your faith, your experiences of the Holy Spirit, your experiences of prayers answered, your testimony of times when the Lord provided just what you needed, though perhaps not what you expected. And your faith probably relies on hearing similar stories of others. Just this past Sunday at confirmation class, the topic was the Holy Spirit. And at the end of our time together, I read a story from Corrie Ten Boom. She wrote The Hiding Place. She survived a World War II concentration camp. She was a Christian who had hidden Jews and was trying to save Jews in the Netherlands, and she was caught, and so she was sent to Ravensbrück. Well, she survived. She had a Holy Spirit experience many years later, after the war was over. So I shared this. I read this chapter out of her book. It is a moving story, true and inspiring. Then Pete, who teaches the class with me, told a story of a time when he had experienced the Holy Spirit. It too is a moving story, true and inspiring. And my faith grew Sunday night at 6:30 in the hearing of that story. I love this about God, that he can increase my faith through something that happened to someone else. I love that. And you know, that's how it went 2,000 years ago as well. Andrew and Simon Peter devoted their lives to Christ because what had happened to John? No miracles, no magic, no convincing, no proving. Just, let me tell you what I saw happen to him. And they were off. The Christian faith grew. And word spread. It's the same with us. The Bible says that no human has ever seen God. Rather, God is declared to us, witnessed to us by people we know and people we hear about and people we read about. So, do you want to feel stronger in your faith, more confident, encouraged? Then hang close to someone who has a faith you admire, who can tell you a story or two. Or read about Christians who've been around the block of struggle and strife and who have retained or regained their faith. And likewise, have you experienced or seen God at work in your life or God at work in the world around you? Then tell someone. I love conversations or phone calls that begin with, "You won't believe what happened." Yeah, something good is going to follow. The power of your story, of your sharing of Christ in this way, will change lives. How do I know that? Because I read about it in a good book. Amen. May it be so. I invite you to turn to the blue insert. This is the faith story of some church people who lived thousands of years ago. They knew Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit, and they wanted to write down and tell the story of how they knew him. And so we are hearing this to be encouraged in our own faith. So I invite you to rise and to join me as you are able. Christian, what do you believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in